Good morning. This is John Beener with Marketplace Witness, the show that interviews charming people like the two we have here this morning before us, Guy and Kate Iannello, and they are from
Total Freedom Program.
Total Freedom Program in
Ocoee, Florida.
Ocoee, Florida, because I can't say Ocoee very well, but they're teaching me, and I'm learning Italian from them too as well. So we're excited to have you here. This is an incredible story of how Guy and his wife's life changed through the dramatic intervention of Christ himself and relieved him from drug addiction and selling drugs and pot and the whole nine yards in prison, and now to helping other people get off of not only drugs but alcohol, mental problems, every kind of thing that the world says, you know, you can't do that, by the way, you know, the old bipolar issues too as well, and we'll talk about some of those things, but we're really excited to have them here, and they're going to tell us their story and how they got started. So Guy, tell us, kick us off here a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your background. I know you grew up in upstate New York, right?
I was upstate New York, brought up in a business arena.
Okay.
Entrepreneur.
Okay.
And
that was your first business? What was your first business?
Well, I was in a restaurant business.
Okay, okay.
And my family owned pizzerias and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So I was brought up in that and learned how to manage and take care of things. And,
okay.
But I was a jock also as a young kid.
An athlete.
I love sports and played in the leagues and football, baseball, basketball.
Good.
And,
oh, good.
And in fact, my wife was at one of the schools I was going to in grade school, and she was so she knew me there. I didn't know her.
Oh, really?
But she knew me there, and then
okay.
I went on into entrepreneurship, but it was the wrong entrepreneurship. I was in the drug world and became a drug addict, and I got sentenced to life in prison, and I'd gotten out because
that was in upstate New York.
Yeah,
okay.
And then they changed the laws, and I was able to get out. And my attorneys fought.
That was God intervening.
All big time.
Yeah. Okay.
All big time.
Even meeting Kate eventually and getting married.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I got out, I met Kate.
Uh huh.
And then come to find out that...
Now let's go back. You were in prison for how long was it again?
It was about 14 months.
14 months only. Wow. And you were supposed to have life.
One year to life.
Wow. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah. So when I went to the parole board, they cut me loose. Told me I had to do life parole.
Uh-huh.
And
life parole.
Right. Okay. Well, my attorneys brought it back to court 2 and 3 times. And got it reduced to 10 years and then got it reduced to 3 years.
Okay, all right.
And I was crying out to God. And one of the things that when I went to prison, I started in Attica, I said, God, and I didn't even know the Lord because I wasn't even saved, but I believed that there was a God.
Uh-huh.
And when I went in there, I said, God, I'm not going to blame you for this. This is all my fault.
Okay, that's good.
You know.
He likes that.
And I knew it was my fault. Yeah. I'll take my responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, at that period of time, I was married, and I had a young child, young daughter, and my wife there ended up divorcing me while I was in prison.
Yeah.
And I have a daughter now that's going to be 38.
Okay.
And, but then when I got out of prison, I met Kate.
Really?
And.
How was that? How'd you guys reconnect from school to, you were in grade school together, you said?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
He was hanging out with a friend of mine, my roommate, and they were partying together because we were doing all the wrong things at that time.
Okay.
And so I met him actually in my apartment again. He was visiting with my friend, and that's how we reconnected.
Really? How about that?
Yeah, when she heard my name, she said, I know a guy I used to go to school with. I said, well, that's me. Still in the drug world, still doing things, and then left New York, moved to Florida, and still continued.
You didn't get married then right away?
No, we didn't get married. We didn't get married till, Kate went to traveling nurses, and I went my own way.
Okay.
And then
missed me.
I missed her.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that this was the person I was supposed to marry. And so we reconnected again in Florida, got married, was married 8 years. But still in the drug world, and you know, things were tough.
Now you were selling drugs
as well as using
drugs. Yeah. Okay.
What was
that life like?
Scary.
Scary. Okay.
Well, you're always looking behind your shoulders, uh-huh. over your shoulders, behind your back, uh-huh. always being careful of phones, you know, isolation,
mm-hmm.
and
paranoia
is tremendous,
uh-huh.
and of course the people you associate with, there's different levels of them. Some of them who were very addicts and needed the dope would do strange things, you know, to uh-huh. get the dope. And I always kept saying, I'll never get like that.
Uh-huh.
I'll never get like that. I was more of a businessman, but
right.
I was occasional user, but then the usage got worse.
I see.
And it got to a point where Kate finally just said, I'm done,
mm-hmm.
and left me and divorced me. Now I own a manufacturing company, silkscreen company, restoration company, antique limousine service.
Okay.
And
all as a result of making so much money in the drug business?
And a way to filter the money also.
Okay, launder it, okay.
And yeah. I finally ended up losing everything. I mean, even in my manufacturing company, I had distributors through the country,
uh-huh.
and I stopped. I neglected providing them. They ended up cutting me loose, and okay. I ended up taking all the money and all the assets and spending it, using it, and traveling, and...
And while you two were still married? Or
no, when she divorced me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what was it like, Kate, then, when he was doing all this? What was you were a nurse, I think
yes,
you said, right?
Yes, I was a registered nurse.
Uh-huh.
I held a full-time job. I considered myself, still do, that I was a good nurse. I had respect among my colleagues, but I would come home to this other life. And it was kind of like, a lot of times I felt like I was partying, drinking and drugging.
Uh-huh.
To keep him at home, because if I didn't do it with him, he would have been out doing it someplace else.
I see. Okay, okay.
And he had already been busted big time once, and
mm-hmm.
I knew if he got busted again, that would be the end of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought he was safer doing it at home, so
right.
I would do it with him.
Yeah.
And when it was...
That's what some parents even say today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just enabling.
Uh-huh, right.
And codependence.
Uh-huh.
And so then when I finally couldn't mix the... You know, the partying life with my, was starting to affect my work, where I would miss a day of work or call in sick or whatever. And I had just had enough. He was out one night too many.
Okay.
And I just said, you know, I've got to do something. You need help. Let's get help. And he chose not to get help, and that was the end of our marriage.
So stubbornness on his part, you know, denial and
he
yeah.
thought
refusal.
He could fix it himself. He thought
right.
he could quit himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Typical man thing, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, things actually got worse then. When,
uh-huh.
Once she left, things got worse.
Okay.
And I got worse.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up having to get people to help me and protect me.
Okay.
So I took in guys that were basically like a bodyguard.
Okay.
And they used to basically work for me because I took all the assets and everything. The companies began to fold. And,
uh-huh.
And in fact, I had gotten arrested again
uh-huh.
with guns and dope in one of the limos and with my bodyguard. And so I gotten bailed out. And it finally got to a point where, you know what, I can't do this anymore. So I was out on bail. Here I already have a history of a life sentence in the drug world.
Right.
And now I'm going back to court again.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to the point where it's like, you know, I can't do this anymore. And I was so bad that I hated myself and I couldn't even stop. And I had no peace. I mean, I was just tormented in the mind,
mm-hmm.
seeing these spirits running through my house, not knowing what they were,
wow.
hearing voices.
Mm-hmm.
Finally getting to a point where I attempted to kill myself.
Really?
Just to get peace.
Mm-hmm.
As the blood began to come out of my arms is when I was getting peace, and then somebody kicked in the door, and I actually got rescued. And
rescued?
From
okay.
dying. Yeah.
From being, killing yourself. Okay.
Right, because I figured my only way out was death.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that there was help.
Right.
But
right.
in the meantime, I was crying out to God for help,
uh-huh.
because I believed that there was a God.
Uh-huh.
And this guy I used to ride Harleys with, who was in the drug world with me, happened to come by my house and was like, man, what's up? What happened?
Uh-huh. Now
my house was in foreclosure.
Uh-huh.
I'd lost everything. All the furniture was gone.
Really?
All the antique limos were gone.
Huh.
Everything was gone. I've gone through everything.
Wow.
And he said, man, and he said, you need the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, man, everybody goes from drugs to Jesus. And I finally got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
So I went to detox, got out, and started going to some
that
meetings.
That was a couple of months or something?
Yeah. And so he brought me to a church, and I remember the preacher saying, man, you need to have Jesus. So I left that day, came home, I had my 80-pound Doberman dog, and I went down to the pool. I'm still out on bail thinking I'm going, I got to go to prison.
Yeah.
I called her to let her know I was going to prison because even though they had, we were divorced for 3 years,
sure.
It was kind of like we never sealed the goodbyes.
Okay.
Because of the always the drug-induced situation. There was never really a full goodbye.
Uh-huh.
And
you were never normal.
He wasn't normal enough to even cope with the goodbyes.
Yeah. But since you went through drug rehab,
I didn't go through drug rehab.
Didn't you say detox?
I went to detox, yes. Okay. So I was getting some clarity.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I called her and I said, you know, since we're, I said, if you're in town, let me know.
Uh-huh.
And she says, no, she's in New Mexico. She goes, but I'll send you a ticket. So she sends me a ticket to go to New Mexico.
Really?
Well, vacation before his long vacation.
Okay. You know, my minimum mandatory sentence is 4 years for what I would have to go to do.
Okay, really?
Minimum 4 years.
How long was your bail for? I mean,
well, I was out on bail for a year now.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah.
And so I went to this church. He said, ask Jesus. So I came home, went down to the pool.
Uh-huh.
And I called out to God. I said, God, I know you're out there somewhere. And I said, today I was told to accept, to ask Jesus to come take over this life. And I just began to say, you know, I'm really sorry. I've been an idiot. I haven't been a husband. I should have been a father. I should have been. I'm sorry for all the people I started. I hurt because for the last year of my drug addiction, I used to see these visions of all the people. I used to get convicted of all the people I was destroying their lives and their families and because of selling them drugs. But at that time, I felt like Robin Hood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't really a Robin Hood. I was just demonized individual killing other people, not even knowing it. And I began to repent, and all of a sudden I began to weep and cry, and I accepted the Lord. And the next thing I know, I'm in this cloud. I'm blinded. I can't see. And this love of God is filling me. And it was like somebody just shook a soda bottle, and it popped.
I see.
And this language started flying out of my mouth, which they call tongues, which I didn't know about. I mean, I had heard it, but I didn't know that, you know.
Yeah.
And
All at one time.
My arms are straight up in the air.
You committed to the Lord, and then you received the prayer language at the same time.
Everything. Blinded. Yeah. And the only thing I saw was pictures of my life where he was saying, I forgive you. And I was brought to the other side, and I said, if this is death, I want it. In other words, this is awesome. I'll just stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
And well, when I said that, the cloud lifted, and the presence of the Lord was in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing I know, and now I'm asking God, we're kind of like communicating, but before I could even finish asking a question, my thought, before my mind could comprehend it, he would answer it, you know, because he knows before you're going to ask.
Sure.
And then my Doberman dog started barking viciously. And I looked next to me where my dog is barking, and there's this big, black, thick snake.
Hmm.
And it's rattling, trying to bite my dog, and I looked to the Lord like, what about my dog? What do I do? And the next thing I know, I stand up and my hand goes towards this snake, which looked like a serpent. And I said, from the love of God, I curse you, Satan. And I'm thinking, man, I would never say that.
Wow, that's the Holy Spirit working through you already. Huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
And this snake curled up and moved away from my dog. And I looked to the Lord like, man, this stuff only happens in Star Trek. And the Lord said to me, that came out of you. From
that
your
snake
drug
did.
Addiction, yes. Uh-huh. That serpent came out of you, from your drug addiction, and the rule of this world is Satan and so forth, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the next thing I know, he began to share with me certain things, and then he just was left. He took off, and it was like the natural realm opened up, and he went, and he was gone. The natural realm closed up, and there I was, praying in this funny language, but he introduced me to the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
So I went home, my roommate looked at me and said, man, what happened to you? Uh-huh. I started praying in tongues, and he said, hallelujah. And, you know, and so this happened on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
That Monday or that Tuesday, I had to get on that flight to go see Kate.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow.
He was not the same.
When he got there, to see you in New Mexico.
He had dramatically changed. Mm. So that
is just within a couple of months, really, because you've gone through the detox and then committed
within
to the
2 months.
Lord. Yeah,
And I saw such a tangible, perceptual change in him that I knew that he had to have an encounter with the God that I had been looking for. Mm-hmm. Because raised in just denominational religion and hearing about God and going to a school that taught you about God, but I never really experienced God.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have the personal relationship experience. Yeah.
Right, because the denomination that I was in, they taught you that you had to go through another human being to have a relationship with God.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't appeal to me too much.
Right.
And so I figured if God created the universe and God was God, that God still did things to show himself to be God.
Sure.
And when Guy showed up, absolutely changed. Mm-hmm. 100%, mm-hmm. like they say, a 180, mm-hmm. and a total opposite sides of the spectrum. I knew that he had had an encounter with the God that I had been looking for.
Uh-huh.
And so within a month after that, I was back living in Orlando as a traveling nurse, kind of testing the waters, afraid to jump in the relationship with both feet because
he wanted to get married again.
Well, he had offered that, and you know, to me, I thought, well, once an addict, always an addict.
Right,
that's
sure.
all they taught me in nursing school.
Uh-huh.
And for him, it's like, well, Lord, can I love you and love her both? You know, so both of us had hesitancy remarrying, but God sent us several signs, which are whole other stories, just amazing signs that we couldn't deny. And so we did remarry. We've been remarried 17 years.
Wow.
And the purpose of the interview really is to let you know and people know that since that time, God has done amazing things. My husband is an awesome teacher of the Word of God. We have a lot of freedom in God. You can't see my husband on the radio, but he's got his snakeskin boots on and a ponytail longer than mine. He drives a chopper. And my point in saying that is we're not the church lady and the preacher man, you know.
Yeah, we are not stereotyped Christian people.
We're
not.
We're just everyday people who love God.
Right.
And so we relate to a lot of people. We have jail ministry several times a week. We have the ministry Total Freedom for drug addicts and alcoholics, where we have the ability to take in at least 50 men and women, and we disciple them. And their lives are absolutely changed as ours were changed.
Amen.
So
praise
it's
God.
It's been 17 years now of serving God, and it never gets boring.
I can imagine that.
You know,
with all those people that you've been ministering to, it has to be exciting.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, the one thing that I realized in my life, because I always believed that there was a God, and one thing Kate said is experiencing God.
Uh-huh.
You know, because once experiencing God, and that's what's so important about the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen.
Because that's that experience, God. It's not that you, in other words, there's so many people, they have a relationship with the Bible, but not the person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the person makes it personal, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I go to God, and then he brings me to the Bible to confirm what he says or whatever. But it's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
And without the anointing, we're nothing.
That's right.
And that's where the sword of the Spirit is. It's the anointing. The word better be backed by the anointing.
Yeah, the
and
armor
we watch
of God.
Lives change. Lives. And so we have the program is 9 months. And we also have one that's 90 days. But in that, lives are changed. They become disciples because drugs and alcohol is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personality, and it's a presence of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And once those spirits are gone, the life is changed. You know,
that's the, for me anyway, it's a part of the disappointing part of the church. It doesn't talk about the enemy and how to do battle and how he's warping your mind and having you afraid to do things or take risk or even get clean or you know or get out of your dependency. You know, it's
absolutely
he's talking to everyday people all the time, you know, in a negative way, you know.
Right.
And I've said to people that there you hear three voices, one your own, the second is the enemy, and third is God. But you got to get through the enemy to hear from God.
Absolutely.
You got to set him aside, you know, and so
yes.
You know,
so go
we
ahead.
I'm saying that Satan's greatest weapon is deception.
Amen.
And his power is fear.
Mm-hmm.
See, so what we tell people is it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as a believer, we should be able to, we believe because we believe what's unseen.
Mm-hmm.
So at our program, we teach them spiritual warfare, mm-hmm. how to walk in the Spirit, mm-hmm. the manifestation of the Spirit, mm-hmm. gifts of the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and revelation of the Spirit. We say that faith, there's no such thing as blind faith. Faith is spiritual sight. Mm-hmm. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Why? Mm-hmm. Because what you hear brings an image. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why Jesus spoke in parables.
Amen.
You know, so that He can bring an image to them.
Right.
So faith is really spiritual sight.
Amen.
And too many people walk in assumption and they fall into problems. Then they blame God because of they said they were walking in faith, but they weren't walking in faith because God didn't tell them to go do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's called walking in assumption.
Right.
But we see lives changed.
Yes. Yeah, I could imagine.
You know, the one thing I want to mention is that the Bible tells us that when we become Christians, we are in a war. We have a battle to fight. You know, some people...
The battle's not ours, actually.
Absolutely.
It is.
Right. But we have to cooperate
Amen.
With the Lord in the battle. And, you know, people think sometimes wrongly that becoming a Christian is going to offer you a tiptoe through the tulips. And that's not reality.
Right.
Reality is that there is an enemy of the children of God because they're enemies of God.
Mm-hmm.
They hate God, so they hate us, the powers
right.
of darkness. And so what we teach people, and like our slogan, like I said, you can't fight what you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach people that in order to fight an enemy, if you're in the military, you have to learn where they are hanging out, where's their camp. You have to learn what they eat, what weapons they fight with, what their strategies are. Do they come out in the day or the night? I mean, you have to learn who your enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of what we focus on. Too much of the church is afraid to look at the enemy. They say, well, we don't want to glorify the enemy. Well, we're not glorifying him.
Right.
We're learning to overcome him.
We're exposing him.
Yes, we learn his tactics and root him out. And, you know, my husband says, you can't just turn around and run from the devil. He'll always catch up with you. You have to turn around and face off.
Right.
And fight. And God says that we have the victory.
Yeah.
All you need is the weapons of warfare. And know how to use them. And so that's what we teach. In our
and the anointing.
And the
Amen.
Anointing. Power
Amen.
Of God.
So we teach people how to worship mm-hmm. the Lord.
Uh-huh.
We are worshipers.
Uh-huh.
King David was first a worshiper before he became a king.
Uh-huh.
And a worshiper is the first office we're called to be as a child of God is to fulfill priesthood.
Uh-huh.
And a priest, no matter who you are, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, should be a minister to the Lord. By ministering to the Lord is where the anointing comes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you can fulfill a kingship, which is a warrior.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everybody that comes into our program learns the Bible during the day,
mm-hmm.
and their special curriculum. They get tested under certain things that they have to confess. But then we, at night, we're worshipers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do special anointing services mm-hmm. where they are filled with the Spirit of God. Because mm-hmm. one of the things is once you taste the presence of God, there isn't anything else to compare. No
right.
drug, no
right.
relationship,
right.
no amount of money,
right.
no nothing can compare
yeah, that's right.
with the presence of God.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. That's exciting. So tell us about some of the stories of people that have come to you. You said earlier that you had a what kind of seat?
A front row seat.
A front row seat in what? In what movie was it?
Well, you know, what keeps us going, I mean, you know, our relationship with the Lord and obedience, but what continually encourages us is that we have a front row seat to watch lives change.
Mm-hmm.
And we see many, many miracles happen where marriages are restored, where people are healed,
uh-huh.
not only of drugs and alcohol, but one of the great things is the torment of the mind.
Uh-huh.
We've had people come in. You know, one of the worst things out there people don't realize is prescription addiction. I mean, prescription addiction is big,
mm-hmm.
Very big. It's probably the most,
that's
how usually it starts.
About.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Where people get in an accident, they start off with pain pills, or you've been diagnosed bipolar or whatever it is, DN, what is it, ADD,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, when I hear about all of those goofy things, it's just because the secular world does not know how to deal with demonic forces.
Right.
So let's put a label on it. Let's medicate you. And what happens is when you're medicated, your body doesn't respond to that presence of evil.
Mm-hmm.
So then they call it victory. Just like a heroin addict, they put mm-hmm. on methadone. Okay, mm-hmm. so you're not on heroin anymore, you're on methadone,
mm-hmm.
which is harder to kick,
mm-hmm.
but they call it victory. Well, not with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we call demon management.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We don't want to manage these demons. We want to get rid of them.
Total
Absolutely.
Freedom.
That's what total freedom comes into effect.
Right.
So we've had people that have been dropped off at our place that were phobias, have been in their bedroom for 3 years.
Really?
We've picked up people that, my wife picked up a girl that was at the airport who didn't even know her name. And these people were getting ready to put in insane asylums.
Wow.
And they came to our program and got totally delivered them, healed them, took them off all the medication and everything. And they're back with their families are out serving God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. You mean the whole thing about marriages being restored is so big because so many people give up on each other. But in your case, if one of the two will really get right with God,
absolutely,
a healing can take place. The
yes.
other one will notice the difference and say, what have you done?
Right.
Yes. You know what I mean?
What
I want
you?
What you got. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, so, you know, we're strong believers that if you give God the opportunity to restore it,
right.
but you can't, only He can.
Right.
Too many times people get set free, then they go try to restore something that's
on
not
their
God's
own,
time.
In their own power, you know.
Yeah, then they mess it up.
That's right.
Or they don't give God the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen many people get remarried again
mm-hmm.
when God was trying to restore them.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the worst
was,
things for
in other words,
a child,
too soon, in other words?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
When God was trying to restore them to the original one of the original ex-wife.
The father.
Or, yes, because there's children involved. And you know, one of the things the Lord looks at is the children.
Sure.
They want the real mom and the real dad.
Right.
You know, if that's possible.
Right.
But the thing is so many times people get too anxious
mm-hmm.
because they want what they want. They're looking to have the sex again and start a family right away,
mm-hmm.
but not giving God the opportunity to restore what the
mm-hmm.
devil destroyed.
Get
and that's where Kate and I mean, you got to remember, we were divorced for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
I thank God neither one of us got remarried.
Yeah, thank God is right, yeah.
You know, or we would have been, we've never
we'd
been
have
here.
Missed it.
Right.
And look at the testimony now.
Right.
But so
and
many
I'm
people,
sure both of you went through anxiety saying, God,
oh, yeah.
send the right person. I want to be married again, and I want to have a right relationship this time, and all that. And God said, nope, I'm waiting for you to mature in me so that I can prepare your heart to be in the right marriage relationship.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And
that's
and
another thing we teach. I think the world has such a, especially in America, a bad image of dating or how they choose their spouses. I call it squeezing the melons.
Okay.
And probably just the women will know what I'm talking about, but it's like going to the grocery store and trying this melon. Well, let's
right.
see if this one is good, or
right.
let's try this one, let's try this one.
Yeah.
No, God has prepared a special person for you.
Right.
That person is in the process of being prepared especially for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll just wait, that person will come across your path. You will know it, and you will have a successful marriage that can glorify God.
Amen. Because there's a difference between a love affair and a lust affair.
Amen. That's
you know,
so true.
And
yeah.
people say, oh, no, this is the one I'm supposed to marry. But see, God's will is God's time.
Yeah, right.
If it's not God's time, it's not
yeah.
God's will.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I like that song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
I've had more unanswered prayer than answered prayer, but it was better for me in the long run.
Yeah, but many people answer their own prayer.
That's right. They're pushing the envelope constantly, yeah. And I can relate to that as well. I've done that 100 times, too. Again, thank you for Guy and Kate being here with this Marketplace Witness show. This is exciting for them to be with us. Hopefully we can get them back real soon and they can tell us a
Love
lot more
to.
Stories about people's lives being changed in their Total Freedom program.
Yes.
And they go to totalfreedomprogram.com, right?
.org.
No, .org. Thank you.
It's www.totalfreedomprogram.org.
Yes, and we'll send out a free package to anyone who contacts
Good.
Us.
That's great. Praise God. Thank you so much for being with us. Outstanding people and great lovers of the Lord. Thank you. God
Amen.
Bless you.